And joining us now from, I'm pretty sure, down in Chicago, is Kelly Hensel. Kelly is a senior digital editor with the Institute of Food Technologies. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on the Roadhouse.
Thank you for having me.
Nice of you to take some time. Was I correct? You're down in Chicago? That is where...
That's correct. Downtown Chicago.
First of all, before we get going on our topic, and that is food trends, tell us a little bit about the Institute for Food Technologists.
Sure. Well, we're an association, and we serve the food science community. So this is, our members are food scientists, food technologists, R&D professionals, all the people that work really hard at making the food that you eat every day. So people from Kraft, General Mills, all of the big food companies are members of our association. We're here to serve them, to promote the advancement of food science and, try to increase awareness of what food science is.
So chefs would not necessarily be part of your organization.
Yeah, they increasingly are, actually. We have a big outreach with the Research Chefs Association. A lot of chefs are realizing that they need to know more about food science because they're hearing about it from, they're either working with food companies, helping them develop new products, so they need to have an understanding of food science, and at the same time, food scientists need to know a little bit more about culinary, so we're kind of trying to bridge that gap.
I see. And for those of our listeners that are not sure, that may include not just listeners, but perhaps a host or two. Food science, can you, in 25 words or less, what's food science?
What is food
this will be
science?
Graded, by the way.
Well, you know, it's, 25 words or less.
No, I'm teasing. take 30 if you need to.
Well, basically, it's all of the processes. It's all of the kind of what takes a food from the field to your table.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so anything, processed food, unfortunately, has kind of a bad reputation, a bad kind of rap in consumers. But it's really anything that makes your food last longer, that makes you, be able to import a fruit from Mexico and make it last until it reaches your table.
So I see.
It's food science, the creation of foods that can last and feed the world, because increasingly that's a challenge.
Sure.
The population is growing, so...
We currently are in the very northeastern tip of Minnesota, and anything that can keep food a little fresher, there's one road in and one road out, and
right.
Anything that can keep food a little fresher, we're all for it. We're all
it
for
helps.
It. Yes, you bet it does. With that as background, we want to talk a little bit about food trends, and the information that I was given, my co-host Dick Swanson and I were talking earlier that at least what we have received says that over half of Americans consider themselves adventurous eaters, and 82% are open to trying new flavors.
Yeah.
So your organization, if I understand, in fact, in the November issue of Food Technology, which is published by IFT, you write about the top five flavor trends. The first question I guess I've got is, when did your organization start keeping track, Kelly, of food trends?
Well, we always cover and kind of look for the trends in our industry, whether it's flavor, whether it's packaging trends, all of those kind of trends, because our members want to know, want to stay ahead of the game. They want to know what's coming down the line. They want to know what their clients are going to need. So we have close relationships with market research companies, with trend predictors, and we keep pulse on what they're seeing and kind of help reach out to our members, too, who are working in this environment, creating food every day for consumers, what they're seeing. So that's where I drew a lot of my information for the article, and I did a lot of interviews with flavorists, market researchers, and kind of delved into it.
And so the market researchers, are they talking to restaurants? Who are they talking to find out? How do they know whether Bob Carter or Dick Swanson likes sweet and heat or not?
Right.
Or
right.
Even what sweet and heat is. Which is my next question.
They're looking at not only what's appearing on restaurant high-end restaurant menus, but how that how those trends, like, say, I don't know, for some reason, grapefruit is really popular. It's appearing on all of these menus. They're tracking that, and they're also seeing how that filters down to what's appearing on our grocery store shelves, because often trends start at that high-end culinary level, and they often trickle down. So they're looking at that. They're looking at new food product introductions into those grocery stores and seeing what is out there, what's on the label, you know, what are the attributes that are selling. There is so much data, it's unbelievable what they keep track of. So it's a lot of data.
So they're probably not pulling anything off the menu at the local diner, breakfast diner someplace, in terms
well,
of
you know,
culinary.
It could end up there.
But it could end up there. You're right. Probably didn't start there, but it could end up there.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that's how Tabasco got on their on their tables at some point in time.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the trends, and we're going to talk about five trends that you, through your research, are seeing that are trending. And there's a part of me that just really hates to use that word, but
I know.
Hashtag something. But so let's talk about the first one. And I don't know if these are in any particular order or not, but sweet plus heat. Now, what kind of taste are we talking about here? What kind of foods are we talking about here?
Sure. Well, this is, you know, Americans love spicy foods. Mm-hmm. So this is our love for spicy foods taken kind of to that next level. So people are looking for more complex flavors. They're not just looking for, like, something that's really hot and then dissipates. They're looking for something that's a little bit more interesting. So often that's combining it with something sweet. Sriracha sauce is a great example. It's becoming insanely popular.
Yes, yes.
That Thai hot sauce, and it makes it interesting. It's chili peppers that make it, you know, hot, but it also has sugar and garlic and vinegar, so it adds this kind of more complex and dynamic taste profile. So, you know, Doritos already has a sriracha flavored chip on the market. Snack foods are often where you're going to see this kind of new flavor profiles tried out to see if they're a hit with consumers.
Well, Dick and I were mentioning before we went on the air that, or actually while we were on there, we're talking about doing the interview, Subway's had that sauce on their menu now for a little while.
Right,
so they're trending.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing actually what Subway has introduced that has, they're actually pretty good trendsetters.
So now when you're talking about this, and you're talking about a Taiwanese hot sauce and then combining it with some other flavors, but this isn't just only found in food, is it?
No,
I mean,
you're
talking
right.
About some drinks too.
Yeah, actually beverages are a great place to look for trends and flavors because they try out some really interesting, crazy things in beverages before they even make it to food sometimes. So, I think it's about beverages and snack foods are kind of low-commitment items for consumers to purchase.
Uh-huh.
So they're willing to try something a little bit more out there maybe, you know, and see if they like it rather than committing to a full meal or,
I'm guessing if snack foods like Doritos or something like that, if they're featuring stuff, they must be able to react to trends pretty quickly in that industry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and these are the, you know, the people that make Doritos. These are the people that are also looking for, they're ahead of the game. They're like 3 years down the road in their product development process. That's why it's so important for them to know the trends far in advance so they can kind of, and they are pretty nimble when it comes to introducing new varieties, but they have to also be looking forward quite a ways.
I would think then that would make the type of research that you're talking about, I mean, trending, you're even doing some, I would think, some guesswork if you have to be out there 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I actually talked to a food futurist is what she terms herself. And
really?
She's in the UK. Yeah, she's in the UK, and she really takes this, like, high-level cerebral approach to predicting trends that are not even based necessarily on what people are eating, but it's based on like the economy and politics and filtering that down. It was quite a conversation. It was very interesting, but a little over my head.
We're visiting with Kelly Hensel, who is the senior digital editor of Food Technology Magazine at the Institute of Food Technologists. Given the current political state of affairs in this country, I'd just as soon not base my food preferences on that.
I agree.
Well, and I want to get on to the time we have some of the other flavor or trends as well. But what interested me about the sweet and heat is they're talking about, when we said drinks, Mexican hot chocolate and jalapeno margaritas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
I do drink hot chocolate, not when I'm in Mexico. That isn't the beverage of choice. I don't drink margaritas, and a jalapeno margarita. I don't know.
Sounds intense, I know.
It does. Well, maybe a good thing is you probably can't drink a lot of them.
That's right.
Or would want to, anyway. Okay, let's talk about some of the other ones. Is sweet and heat, is that kind of the number? On my sheet, it says number one. I don't know if that means it's really number one or...
Yeah, they're not really in order by... You know, they're all kind of equal in my mind, at least.
Okay.
They become kind of like my babies over the course of this.
One other quick question before you get to that, and that is, as you're looking at these trends or trying to predict these trends, Kelly, are you looking at a certain demographic for that? I notice, for instance, you referred to the millennials, which I think are people younger than me, love for bold flavor. So are you looking at a particular, like as a demographic group?
Well, the market research that, you know, I get from companies, and they actually look at every demographic. But what's finding is that millennials are really shaping a lot of the trends coming forward today. So they have this big foodie culture. They're like all about food, what's in it, what's going on in the food scene. They're the ones who absolutely get obsessed with it. So they are pushing a lot of those forward. But on the other hand, we have a lot of baby boomers. And because of their population, and, you know, they're definitely going to have some kind of say in what the food industry is producing, because they will determine what's being bought.
Sure.
So it's kind of, you know, a balance,
yep.
I think.
Okay, let's talk about another trend.
Sure.
What else?
Well, one of my favorites I thought was very interesting was this, what I call the smoke and oak.
Yeah.
And like we were kind of talking about before, this kind of stems out of a lot of beverage, what was going on in the beverage scene, especially mixologists, like the ones that are creating the jalapeno margaritas. They're out there doing some crazy stuff and making, for example, like smoked cocktails. That's been popular in some high-end bars for a while now, but that kind of is starting to trickle down to foods, snack foods. You know, smoked meats have been around forever, but that smoked flavor is kind of filtering into, like, there's a hummus that's being introduced, a smoked hummus.
Uh-huh.
So some interesting, it adds this layer of complexity to the flavor, but it doesn't add any calories, which people love.
So, so in drinks, how would they add the smoke flavor?
So they might be smoking an ingredient that goes into a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So they're smoking the sugar, maybe.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and actually, we have a chocolate company in Chicago here, who Bosch Hot Chocolate. She's right now, the owner is obsessed with smoking things. She's smoking resins and she's putting them into her chocolate bars. It's smoking different ingredients to come up with this kind of weird, intense flavor profile.
Yeah, very.
It's hard to describe, but.
Well, and you know, when you're talking about mixologists and coming up with strange combinations, back in the day, we got to drink those free because they were considered mistakes.
Yeah. They're not free anymore. They're very expensive.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put that smoked sugar in your scotch and water. So. That's all right. I'll take it anyway. All right, so we got smoke and oak. Now, one that kind of interested Dick, because he's a little more adventurous than I am, was Middle Eastern and North African.
Yeah.
Aren't those two somewhat similar anyway, or am I thinking about other things? Mediterranean.
They are similar, and that's kind of why I grouped them together, because there's a lot of spices, and like harissa, which is like a chili pepper paste from North Africa, is becoming more popular. That's specifically from North Africa, but it's also used a lot in Middle Eastern food, and za'atar, which is a spice mixture, is from Middle Eastern origins, but it's being used. So those are, it's a lot of bold flavors in Middle Eastern and North African cuisines. And I don't think people are very familiar, other than like hummus and falafel.
Oh, sure.
You know, they're not very familiar with what these foods are. So I think there's some interest in discovering them, kind of finding out what they're all about. And harissa is actually being sold by, you know, in a jar form on certain grocery store shelves now as a condiment. So it's becoming more familiar.
You certainly, you know, and clearly what your type of research is important, because as one looks at grocery store aisles or supermarket aisles, they look a lot different than they did not that many years ago in terms of the kind of, not only the kind of food products, but particularly the kind of seasonings and spices and so forth that you can buy.
Yeah, people are expecting a lot more out of their food now. They want more interesting things. They want, sometimes they don't want certain things at all, like GMO or, you know, there's all sorts of issues going on in food that consumers really have a powerful say in what the food products are today.
Then one would hope that would be the case. Okay,
yeah.
What about, let's talk one more, umami. Did I pronounce? No, it's not your
umami.
Mama, it's umami.
Yes, umami. Yeah. You know, this one's not really that new, but it's becoming more popular as Asian cuisine, which is full of umami, that kind of seaweed, ramen noodle flavor that's kind of hard to describe, but I think people are becoming more familiar with it. So it's definitely coming across in lots of seaweed snacks being introduced, seaweed chips. Seaweed's got tons of umami, so that's definitely...
And any college student probably knows what you're talking about. Well, no, that you're talking about authentic ramen noodles. I mean,
yeah,
ramen noodles are pretty much a college student's basic food group.
Oh, yes. I lived on ramen noodles for a long time.
No money left till the other check comes down to the ramen noodles.
Right.
Now, you mentioned earlier we were visiting with Kelly Hensel of the Institute of Food Technologists. You mentioned earlier that Americans have an interest in food and kind of like spicy foods or interesting foods. Do you find the same thing in other parts of the world, or is it only we've been so used to such bland food here that over the years that suddenly other cultures and other countries' food now appealing to us, and they've been adventurous their whole lives because that's what they do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I actually talked to a chef who's from Israel, and she's now in New York, and she has a couple of restaurants there. And she, you know, talking about her experience growing up in Israel, they're so used to those bold flavors.
Right.
And when she, you know, coming here, nobody was really familiar with those. So it's possible that it's something that's new to us, but it's not new to the rest of the world. Although, you know, I honestly didn't, we focused more on U.S., research, but it's certainly interesting to see how, you know, other cultures are what they're eating.
Sure.
So it's definitely, and I think just as our world gets smaller with like technology, but also with the increasing population, you know, from outside of the United States that are moving here, it just becomes smaller.
It absolutely, and also I think makes eating in this country, particularly in larger metropolitan cities, so much more interesting than it used to be.
I
mean,
the
choices
went
exactly,
yeah.
and to do very well. Now, do you think you'll be doing this, the trending choices, on an annual basis with the Food Technology Magazine, or is this something that maybe annually is too quick?
Well, you know, that's a great question. We kind of have talked about that and whether annually might be too much, but maybe every other year.
Mm-hmm.
it's a good stopover to look at, you know, down the line a couple years. It's a lot of information, and I hope that it's helpful for, you know, well, not only consumers, interesting to consumers, but for our members.
Oh, sure.
Kind of, you know, what to expect. So, yeah, I mean, we'll definitely do it again. I'm just not sure.
Well,
I need to take a break for a little while.
It's certainly been interesting to us, I can tell you that.
Oh, good.
And,
well, I'm glad.
We've been visiting with Kelly Hensel, Senior Digital Editor at the Institute of Food Technologists, about trending foods. I know that you've got a website that people can go to. Could you give us that website if people would like more information either about the the trending tastes or your organization?
Sure. It's www.ift.org.
Ift.org.
Yep. So you can find out more information about IFT as an organization, but also you can read the current issue of Food Technology Magazine for free. It's open access. So.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. Well, Kelly, again, thank you so much for taking time, particularly on a Friday evening when you'd probably rather out eating some smoking oak.
No problem. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great weekend.